Well, I just heard the Lord say that you lift up my name when you reflect me, when you're kind to somebody. That's how God is lifted up. When you're walking in love, that's how God is lifted up. We are his representations on this planet. He's not working independently of us. He uses man and woman. And so when we sing, be lifted up, I heard it very clearly. He says, you lift me up before the world. What did Jesus say? The world will know that you're my disciples by your love for one another. That's how we lift up the name of Jesus. That's how we lift up. It's not by the words only that we speak. It's by our actions. It's how we're living. That's what the world is going to see. Amen. Well, turn to Luke chapter 1 with me. We're going to look at the portion of Scripture that we tend to look at every Christmas season, because it's the announcement of Christ's birth to Mary from the angel Gabriel. And I don't read it every year religiously, or just because that seems like the thing to do. I've actually been reflecting on that, this portion, and God wants to talk to us through it this morning about us today, and not just about Mary and what Gabriel said to her. So let's go for a little ride here. As I said, we're going to have the kids help us in a minute. But in verse 26, it says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now you might wonder what the sixth month is. There's a specific reference here, and it's talking about Elizabeth was 6 months with child, with John the Baptist, in her womb. And so she was 6 months pregnant, and this was the time that God sent Gabriel, verse 27, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. That's quite an introduction. And an angel appears to you. I'd want something like that. You know, I'm highly favored with God. But when she saw him, she was troubled. Doesn't say because an angel showed up, but at what he said. And considered what manner of greeting this was. And so she's meditating on this. What is he saying? Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. That's comforting to know. God's kingdom's not going to end. Where's God's kingdom? It's inside of us. That's good news right there. The angel said to her, or Mary said, verse 34, how can this be since I do not know a man, or I've not had relations? How can this be? And so the angel answered, don't you know God knew she's going to ask this? And he had the answer for her. God's always got your answers. And so he says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. That's what I was referring to earlier. Verse 37, this is important. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Interesting that God says with him, through the angel Gabriel, nothing is impossible. So when you come across an impossibility, know that it might be impossible for you, but it's not for the one that's living inside of you. And I'm talking about if you're a born-again Christian. If you're not, we're going to give you an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life on his birthday as we celebrate it. I think many realize that it's not really, well, today's the 24th anyway, but, regardless of which day it is, you know, I don't mind if you want to celebrate my birthday in December. Mine's in June. But if you want to celebrate it with me in December, I'll receive that. But anyway, Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." Verse 37, "For with God nothing will be impossible." The Amplified brings it out this way, "For with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." Do we have the Amplified? We put that up there. "For with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." The word that Gabriel brought to Mary had within it the power for her to conceive baby Jesus. But it could not in itself do that work without Mary believing it and agreeing with it and receiving it. And that's why verse 38 is really the point here that God wants to show us. It's Mary says, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." She conceived Jesus by her believing God's word and by receiving it. Then the power of God's word went into her womb and Jesus was conceived. But she had to agree with it. The truth here that God wants you to see is that this is how he operates. If we go back to Genesis, we see that God spoke a word and then it was. He spoke the word, then the Holy Spirit went into action and brought it to pass. Over and over. That's how God, our Father, operates. Well, so he operated the very same way here. He brought the word to Mary, but she had to believe it and receive it. When we believe God's word and receive it and say, "Yes, let it be done unto me," I'll receive my healing. "Let it be done unto me," I'll receive that miracle. You have to believe it, but believing is not enough. You have to be willing to act on what you believe. And she did that when she opened her mouth and said, "Let it be done unto me." In her own understanding, we read that at the offering. "In all your ways, acknowledge him." She says, don't rely on your own understanding. Her mind didn't pick up on that. Her spirit did. Her spirit is what conceived when she believed in her spirit. And that's what faith is. Faith is believing in your heart. And so that's how she did it. Look down at verse 45. "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." So blessed are you when you believe, and you believe what God's told us in his word. And blessed means to make happy, fortunate, healthy, to make prosperous, to make successful, to have a sound mind, to have the favor of God upon you. The blessing of God is an empowerment that he pronounces on you for every area of your life. And so when Mary believed that, she was blessed. Now, she was blessed in every area. King Herod said, "Well, send out and find out where they are because I want to go and worship too." That wasn't what he wanted to do. He wanted to kill him. And so God, by the Spirit of God, led them away until Herod was dead. And so supernaturally, God spoke to Mary and Joseph. And remember, an angel came to Joseph even and talked to him. Because think about it. He's, you know, engaged to Mary, and now all of a sudden she's pregnant. That throws up some red flags. That can take away your integrity. It's like, what's going on? But God had it all under control in the plan that he had. And so he talked to Joseph and he said, don't worry about it. You just do as I ask you to do and everything's going to work out. And how many know it's all worked out? Some 2,000 years later, and it's all worked out. So when we believe and receive God's word, we give him the opportunity to now reciprocate or to release that blessing into our lives, in every area of our life. Over in John chapter 20, talking about believing and what it does for us, Jesus was talking with Thomas. Most of you remember this story. And in verse 29 of John 20, Jesus said to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have been believed. So Thomas had to see in order to believe. But Jesus said, you'll be blessed if you believe him. If you take him at his word, having not seen, I mean, I haven't seen God with my eyes, my natural eyes. I've not seen that, but I believe him. And so he says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Verse 30, truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not even written in this book. You know, I have a limited amount of scriptures that talk about healing, you know, and all, you know, Jairus and the man with the withered hand and the four crazy guys and the guy on the stretcher. We have limited recorded, but it just says right here that he had many other miracles and signs that were done that aren't written. But look at verse 31. But these are written that you may believe. What is written is so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. And that by believing, you may have life in his name. By believing, you'll have life in his name. The centurion, he came to Jesus and he said, you know, my servant is really messed up, really in a bad place. And he said, you know, well, actually, he just told him and Jesus said, I'll come and I'll heal him. And the centurion said, you don't have to come. I'm not even worthy that you come. You just speak the word. What happened? Because of the faith of that centurion, he believed that when Jesus spoke the word, his servant would be healed. That's exactly what happened. You believe the word of God, just like Mary believed the word of God, and she conceived Jesus. You believe God's word for whatever it is in your life that comes your way, whatever circumstance you find yourself in. Believe what God says about it, and you'll have that result. Isn't that good news? That's real good news. So, what can we take away from the Christmas story? And there's much in here. I'm not going to get into a lot of it. But the point that I want you to see is that when we believe God, we're really conceiving his word in our heart. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide between the joints of the bone and the marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. That's how powerful the word is. It was powerful enough to cause Mary to conceive Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our King. How much power is in his word today? The same amount of power that was there then. That's why the power of God, you have to believe it. And then you have to act on it. For us to receive from God healing or deliverance or prosperity or whatever, we must believe. First of all, we must believe it's from God. And we must believe it's God's will that we have it. Remember that leper? He wasn't sure. He said, Jesus, I know you got the power to heal me, but I don't. If you're willing. And what did Jesus do? He reaches out and touches that leper and said, I'm willing. You see, Jesus is still willing today. He's still willing to heal you. He's still willing to deliver you. There's not a person that's so addicted to heroin that God can't reach into them and deliver them from that instantly. There's no situation you're faced with today that God can't reach into that and set you free of it, heal you, deliver you, prosper you, relationships, you name it, with your kids. How many have raised kids? And I can remember, I can't remember exactly the day, but I remember when that little cute bundle of joy first told me no. It's like, what? It's speaking back to me. And it's not agreeing with me. It's like, what do I do? So I had a daughter first, and I got it all figured out with her, how we handle her. Had a second one. It was a boy, my son. Nothing that worked with my daughter worked with my son. So I had to start all over again. I said, God, what is this? Really, what he was saying is, I want you to trust me always. Don't figure things out. I had Christy all figured out, so I thought, but it didn't work for him. Then along comes my daughter, Katie. Different from the other two. I decided I'm stopping having kids. This is too much work. But anyway, blessed are those who have not seen, but yet they have believed. So the gift of Christmas. Why did Jesus come? In Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to need some help from the kids, so if we've got any bold, brave kids, if you come up. Come on, kids, come on. We'll have to have Steve get up. Come on, Tyler. Hi there. Okay, how many we got? Okay. Here comes one bringing me gifts. I like her. She's bringing me gifts. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. You did get the memo. What? These were the ones in the play last year? These aren't real gifts for me? I didn't make the connection. Okay. Everybody? Wow, we're going to have to find some gifts. Okay, gifts. All right. Whoever did this great job of decorating, you're going to have to forgive me because I'm going to mess it up. Kids, here. That feels like a box of chocolate, so be careful. Don't let it melt. All right. All right. Okay. Shh, shh, shh. Don't give it away. Don't give it away. Here, you hold that for a minute. Okay. Here. Here you go. All right. Okay. Everybody have a gift? Okay, if we run out of gifts, we're going to send somebody to get some more. Oh! Sorry. Would you hold that for a minute? Okay. All right. You have flowers? Well, flowers are a nice gift. Give some to your mom sometime. She'll really like that, right, Mom? Okay. Here, Drew. All right. Okay. All right. So we've got lots of presents. We got another one coming. All right, you want to put the flowers down and get a real present? I don't blame you. Okay. Okay. You got the biggest one. Okay. All right. Everybody back down. There's one under there. I think we're good. Do everybody have a present? All right. So how many kids we got? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. All right. So we're going to need, come down off the stage. Your foot's sleeping. I usually like hop on one foot when that happens to me. You never know what's going to happen when you have kids come up. All right. You two come together. And then you stand right here, and you come over here with her. All right. And you two guys, come right over here. All right. And Savannah. All right. And you go with Savannah. You can. That's all right. It's all right. Right here. Right here. Just separate so we know. Now, we've got, I want you in groups of at least two. Maybe you three guys are going to be a group. And then you three are going to be a group. All right. One, two. I need six groups. One, two, three, four, five, six. Okay. You're going to be group number one. And when I tell you, one of you want to hold that? Yeah. Okay. When I say number one, you're going to read what's on there, okay? When I say number two, you're going to read that for me, okay? All right. You guys get the idea? What number are you? Four? Three. Might have a little trouble here on three, but we're going to get through it. You're number four, okay? You're number five, okay? Are you a good reader?
I am.
You are? Okay. Well, you got the biggest gift. And you're going to be number six, okay? All right. Come on, you're on stage here. All right. So why did Jesus come? This isn't going to work with you behind me. How's that? Okay. All right. So why did God send us the gift of Christmas? We all have gifts here. And number one. Okay, you're going to have to yell it right out. So we have forgiveness of sins. All right? In Matthew, I'll read in the Bible. Okay? In Matthew chapter 1, and you can put it up there if you'd like to. Matthew 1 and 21. And she, Mary, will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And so we have forgiveness of sins. That's part of the gift of Christmas, right? Okay, number two. Nice and loud. It's for everybody. Is this mic? We're going to start over because I want this recorded. Was that funny? Are you a comedian? All right. We're going to start over. Everybody, number one. What's number one?
Forgiveness of sins.
Okay? And we saw in Matthew 1:21 that Jesus died for the forgiveness of sins of everybody. All right? Okay. So number two.
It's for everybody.
And so where do we find that in the Bible? I believe that's found in Luke chapter 2. We were there earlier, but Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." So number two is that the gift of Christmas is for all people. That's everybody. Okay, number three. Nope. Whoop, you're number three?
Yeah.
Okay, what's number three?
It's free.
Louder.
It's free.
Louder.
It's free.
Thank you. It's free. All right. We find in Romans chapter 6. And verse 23. I can quote it, but just put your eyes on it if you put it up there. Do we have it up there? We don't have it up there. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It in the Amplified, it says, but the free gift of God. That's what I wanted to read from. The free gift of God. Also in Ephesians 2 and 8, for by grace are we saved through faith. It's not of our works. It's a gift of God. Free gift of God. Okay, so number three was it's free. What is number four?
Eternal life.
So the gift of Christmas is eternal life. In John 3:16. Says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So you have eternal life. And we have that from the moment we receive Jesus into our hearts, right? It's not something off in the far future. It's right now for us today. All right, number five. Hold on. Right into the microphone. I'm going to help you. Okay, so justified, we're justified, and that means we're not just forgiven, but we're, what's that say? Declared.
Not guilty.
Say that really loud. Declared.
Declared not guilty.
Oh, declared not guilty. That's part of the gift. We've been declared not guilty. We've been justified. And the scriptures for that. Is in Romans. That's a good one. Actually, she's an actress. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin was made sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. And number six is, hold on, do you have your card?
Made right standing with God.
Made righteous. That means we have a right standing with God. And that's found in Romans 5:19. I forgot I put the scriptures on there for you. But you know, it would probably take us three times as long if I had you try to look them all up and do them. But you're doing all the heavy work. You're holding the packages. So let's just recap the gift of Christmas. It's for number one, forgiveness of sins, right? Right? You still with me? Number two, it's free. You're right. See, you got it. Number two is it's for everybody. Number three is it's free. Number four, eternal life. Number five, justified. No guilty. I like that. No guilty. Come before the judge, not guilty. So it's more than just forgiven. It's been wiped away. There's a big difference between forgiving somebody and then remembering it. God says he throws that into the sea of forgetfulness. He doesn't remember it anymore. Amen. And then number six is, Laura. We've been made righteous, which means we have a right standing with God. Okay. Very good. So you may put the packages back down. And why don't you just sit right there for a minute? And if you... We're going to have the other kids join you in a minute. Oh. So baby Jesus grew up. He's the same one. So what did he do for us? Well, we just saw that he did six things. He's done more than six because everything for our lives, he has got a solution for it. Matter of fact, the Bible says that he's the one that created us. Before you were even in your mother's womb, he had a plan and a purpose for your life. Had it all figured out. You weren't an accident. God created you, and through your parents, you came through into the earth, but God's the one that created you. He created you in your mother's womb. Actually, he knew you. Scripture says he knew us before we were even in our mom's womb. Isn't that cool? That God knew who you were. And then we talk about Jeremiah 29 a lot, that he's got plans and purposes for your life, right? And that he's been thinking about you. He's been talking about you. Do you know, Jerrica, he was talking about you this morning in heaven. He was thinking about you. He's got plans for your life. Isn't that cool? All right, so Luke chapter 4. Just want to quickly go through this. And we didn't announce, but we're having refreshments after. And we're going to encourage you to stick around and just enjoy the holiday season, the Christmas season. But in Luke chapter 4, we find written starting in verse 18, this was just after Jesus had been taken out into the wilderness, led by the Spirit of God, and he was tempted of Satan. And every time Satan would come against him with something, he came back at him and said, it's written. It's written, it's written, it's written. It's important that you know what's written, because it's that same word that Mary heard from Gabriel that allowed her to conceive Jesus. It's that same word that's going to operate in your life when you believe it and conceive it in your heart. So, come on up. Come on in. Jen will help you. Sister Jen will help you. What do they call you, Jen? Miss Jen. Miss Jen will show you where to go. Hi.
I'm Aiden. And I'm Aiden.
You're Aiden?
I'm Delta.
Really?
I'm Anna.
Hi, Anna.
I'm the big sister.
You're the big sister?
Yeah.
Awesome. Are you a good big sister? Yeah, I bet you are. Are you a good little brother?
And I can run fast.
You can run fast? I bet you can. Can you run fast back? You got something going on in your sneakers. They're lighting up. Okay. All right. You're doing a great job. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 says, this is what Jesus said. I'm going to back up to verse 16. So Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he began to read. He stood up to read, just like I'm doing, right? You holding on to those packages, okay? All right. And Jesus was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. So it had already been put in there by Isaiah the prophet. And Isaiah got that from God. And he had already written it down. Now Jesus is going to read it.
Yeah.
And he says, the Spirit of God is upon me because he's anointed me, that means he's put power upon him to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Look, this is important because this is for us, isn't it?
Yeah.
To heal the brokenhearted. Yep. Even heal you when you get a boo-boo. Yeah, if you fall down running fast, God will heal you. Yes. So, and you put your hand on it and say, in Jesus' name? Is that what you've been learning? All right. You're being trained up in the Lord. Okay. You're going to be a preacher someday? No? Okay. Okay. You're going to be Spider-Man. Praise God. Jesus said that he's been anointed to proclaim liberty to the captives. That means anybody that's been held in captivity of any kind, he's fine. It's not bothering me a bit. That he will deliver you out of that captivity. There's not a situation that could come your way that's so hard that God said, wow, I really didn't figure this one out. I didn't plan on something like this. That's your son? So he came to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind. He came to heal people, to set at liberty or freedom those who are oppressed. Sometimes Christmas time can be a depressing time because of all the memories that we have. But you know, Jesus is the one that can take that and bring comfort to you. His peace can come upon you and overshadow you, just like the Spirit of God overshadowed Mary. That power can come upon you and set you free from that. It's a real power, and it does real things. And then he says the last part, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's talking about kingdom living. But anyway, you guys have been a real big help to me in explaining the gift of Christmas. And that connection thing between baby Jesus, and it's the same one that walked on the water, Jesus, and it's the same Jesus that we have in our hearts. And so I'm going to ask everybody to just bow their head for a minute and close their eyes. And if there's anybody here today, no, good, bow your head, close your eyes, all of you. If there's anybody here today that's never accepted Jesus into your life and you'd like to, we've seen all the good things that he's done for us, all the blessings. And if that's you today and you want to make him the Lord of your life, just slip up your hand. I'd like to pray with you. I'd like to invite you to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior. Because it's not Jesus still baby in the manger. He did grow up. And as we saw in that skit, he did go to the cross and he died for us, so that we could have everlasting life, that we could have blessings, that we could have and enjoy life. That's why God sent Jesus, to bring us back to him, to pay the sin price, get that out of our lives, and to give us a good life. Is there anybody, just by the slipping up your hand, if you just signify that that's me? I've never made that decision before, but I'd like to. What better day than the day we celebrate the birth of the one that made it all possible? Is there anybody? Well, I don't see any hands going up. I believe that, you know, you're all born again. You're all in God's kingdom. If you're not and you want to and you just couldn't find it in you to put your hand up, tell somebody. Don't let this day go, because the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. So let somebody know, because everybody here is concerned about you if you don't know Jesus. Believe me, I know their hearts. I know they want you to come into that saving knowledge, including the kids, right? And we've been learning about Jesus, haven't we? Well, I want you guys to help me, and we're going to wish everybody a Merry, Merry Christmas, okay? Could you all stand up? Because you can shout louder, sing louder when you're standing. Did you know that? Matter of fact, why don't you back up onto the stage? There you go. Just don't wipe out the flowers, okay? I'll get in big trouble. All right, can you stand up on the step here? Oh, right there, right there. There. Oh, you look like professionals here. You guys come over here. You go on the other side. You stand right on the floor. All right. Okay. Are we ready? This is unrehearsed, so ready? One, two, three. We wish you a nice. We Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Repeat. Wish you a
Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas
and a Happy New Year. All right. Okay. So, the little kids are going to go with Miss Jen back to your room. Just to make sure that the parents and Jen know who's got who. You going back there? Okay, you want to take him, Jay? Yep. So all the ones that go to her class, you go before we're dismissed. Because I think parents have a number that they're supposed to present to get a child. Yeah. And we're selling some at the bookstore if you want. No, just kidding. Anyway. Well, we want to wish you a merry... My wife, why don't you come up? Wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of our hearts. We thank you for all the blessings that you've been pouring out towards us. I've been finding gifts on my desk, and thankfully somebody mentioned that it was from them because I didn't know. I found a nice big plate of brownies, so If there's a line of people following me, ushers, I need your help. If you see people running after me, get down to my office. No, I'd be happy to share them with you. But anyway, we love you guys. Why don't you stand? We're going to close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the gift of Christmas, for Jesus coming into this earth to pay the price that only he could pay, and that we receive the benefit of that. We love you, Father. We thank you for your goodness and grace and your mercy. And Father, I pray that everybody would have a safe and a joyous and a wonderful Christmas, and we look forward to a wonderful year coming up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.